Everyone, it's quite an introduction. Not sure I can live up to all of those things today. So my name is Bhavik Vyas, as kindly introduced. I am manager of the partner ecosystem that we're building in media and entertainment at Amazon Web Services. And I'm going to walk you through just a quick tour as to what we see in terms of cloud adoption in the media space and where we see things going and some of the very interesting things we just see in terms of building momentum for broad-scale adoption and transformation within the industry. One of the common things we get asked is just how did Amazon get into cloud computing? And so you may be familiar with Amazon as a store, and about 10 years ago, as we began growing that e-commerce site, we had lots of, we expanded through actually third parties selling through the platform. And so people loading in catalogs, loading them out, changing pricing. And so what we began to do is we began to publish APIs to allow sellers to actually sell on the retail website. And as those sellers grew, and as people built services around those APIs to further their businesses, they were demanding more resources in terms of APIs and computing and storage services from us. And so we thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see if we can package up this broad scale, massively global compute environment and web services for IT and for enterprise applications. And so that's how Amazon Web Services was born. It was born in 2006, and we've been running it now for over 7 years. And it's a completely separate business unit to the retail side of Amazon. And to dispel a couple of myths, it's not extra capacity from Amazon, and it is a fully separate infrastructure and a fully separate business. So it's not extra capacity left over after the Christmas ramp and things like that, which people commonly think. It's a completely independent business. And so what becomes interesting then is just what we've built out. So we've built out a massively global infrastructure. We have 7 regions around the world. In each of those regions are multiple availability zones. In each of those availability zones are multiple discrete data centers that comprise of this infrastructure. And then we have, I think, over 33 edge locations which derive our CDN for delivery of content. And this is a broad-scale platform for both, for any type of use of infrastructure, storage, compute, networking, databases, which spans basically every single vertical from the enterprise through to media and entertainment to healthcare. But this is what we've built, and this is what we use, and this is what we run and allow people to get access to. Some of the clear benefits of cloud computing we see as we bring this to market are the fact that there is no upfront cost investment from anyone. So shifting CapEx to OpEx becomes very valuable for both fledgling businesses and very large enterprises. But the need to no longer have to commit money to infrastructure, to have to buy it, purchase it, get it delivered, install it, and run it, the ability to pay as you go, the ability for you to scale up and scale down, and the ability for you to have global access to infrastructure so that it follows your business and your revenue becomes very compelling for an agile business. And so this is how we deliver our services. So we're constantly adding physical regions and then services on top of this. Everything follows those fundamental models, though. No upfront investment of money, no CapEx required to use it, and you just pay for what you need when you need it. So it becomes very interesting for startups that need to experiment, and even within the enterprise now. So security becomes a key factor in all of our conversations with all of our customers. And specifically for media and entertainment, last year, about this time last year, we worked intensively with the MPAA, which if you're not familiar with, they're the Motion Picture Association of America, so that really governs everything that comes out of the United States with respect to ratings and security and managing that whole industry. So we aligned with the MPAA. We believe that we're the first cloud computing provider to have done so. And this alignment becomes very important because it's a broad stamp of approval with respect to our business processes in terms of security and how they align with the common body that governs a lot of the studios and a lot of the broadcasters. And what this does is it really sets a baseline for security, on top of which people go even further. So this is just an entry point. But our alignment covered all of our services globally, and they're listed in the middle of this. And I think what's more interesting, though, is that this covers raw master files, so everything captured from camera to everything that includes pre and post theatrical release. So everything in between across the entire workflow from production to delivery, you can store on our platform and be confident in the fact that the infrastructure and our processes are fully aligned with the MPAA. The way we interact with customers, though, in this model is through a shared responsibility paradigm, which means that everything from the infrastructure layer down is something that Amazon handles, and that's what we've worked with in terms of alignment. But everything from the APIs up, what the customer builds, what consumers and businesses interact with, provided by a third party, also has to go through this alignment. And that's very common practice. If you go and build your own data center and you're working with content, you will likely have to align with the MPAA and go through all these processes yourself. So there's nothing different there. But what becomes interesting is that a company can align their services and applications with the MPAA. And if it's built on top of an MPAA-aligned cloud computing platform, then that whole stack is now aligned. And that becomes very compelling because we're giving to a business the ability to build their application, their value-added service, and not have to worry about all of the complex IT operations underneath. In addition to this, though, there's a bunch of other certifications that you take advantage of in a platform, and this goes to the broader scope of AWS. So HIPAA, SOC 1, SOC 2, SOC 3, ITAR, FedRAMP, ISO, FIPS. These are all alignments and security certifications or practices that we have aligned with and we keep valid for our business as we go forward. So anyone using a cloud platform gets advantages of both scale and flexibility, but also as the services mature and we get bigger and more diverse customer base, anyone that uses the platform gets advantage of all of this work that's been done before. So it becomes incredibly compelling across different industries. And at the end of the day, we're all running an enterprise. And so as an enterprise, if we're dealing with credit card data or financial information, if we're publicly traded, if we're dealing with any confidential information, we're all required to be very aware of these security practices because it's everyone's responsibility at the end of the day. So moving on from security, it's interesting, I think, to look now at how cloud's being leveraged today. Just what's the state of play in today's world for media specifically? And as we look from the consumer perspective, there's a lot of interesting trends. We know as a fact, right, there's more content choices than ever before. We see that through Netflix, through Amazon Video, through HBO Go, through ESPN, through all of the different ways in which we can consume media, be they images or user-generated content or professionally generated content. There are a plethora, and it's basically seemingly a weekly or a bi-weekly cadence, that new devices are coming to market that allow us to consume media. So from the recent launches of the new iPads, I think Samsung, Google, Apple, Amazon even itself, all launched new tablets within the space of 3 weeks. So this is constant, from the Android to the iPhone to the BlackBerry to the Windows mobile phones. The amount of devices that one has to choose from as a consumer to consume media really sets the stage for what the expectation is when you deliver a media-based service. You need to be platform agnostic. You need to understand that if you want to monetize it, you have to let anyone access that content through whatever platform that they wish. But that continues to grow. Many ways to get the content. So these sort of are combined, right? There's that whole delivery platform, and then there's the devices on which we get the content. And then in terms of the connection, the way it's working. So we've got traditional satellite, we've got broadcast, we've got television, but now we go to OTT, and the over-the-top delivery of content really transforms the way we can again consume content and get access to it. So given the fact that now everything is pretty much IP-enabled, the ability to get content in multiple different ways, and this is the same content, though. So as a strategy, you have to understand how to deliver content through all different mediums that your customers may wish to choose from. And then finally, there's new experiences. So if you have been to NAB or IBC, and if you go to CES, second screen is becoming a very interesting option as people build out services. And that's truly the value add. It's the engagement level. So second screen, if you're not familiar with it, it's the ability to use a device in conjunction with what you're watching on the big screen. And so for retailers and product and people selling products or product placement, or even just delivering metadata, rich metadata, while the user is watching something interesting on TV, can become very compelling. Its ability to sell through, its ability to provide rich data experience around what the core application is. But all of these are new ways in which we're beginning to experience media and the way people are beginning to expect the way media is going to be delivered. So what does this mean? So this should mean that it's easier to make money. You take your content, you make good content, you have suddenly amazing ways to deliver it, and it should be very easy just to bring the dollars home. What we discover, though, is that it's not actually that easy. The ability to create content is complex enough. The ability to market it and make sure that people want it is a challenge in itself. But then when you move to the IT infrastructure and services required to deliver that, it's not easy. You have to think about scalability and transcoding and security and CDNs and workflows and file-based delivery and ingest. And all of these different things become complexities in themselves. At the end of the day, we just want to deliver content and hopefully charge or build advertising or revenue-based services around it, but it's not simple. So diving into a little bit, so how do we enable these things? So how do we enable more content or, and so these really drive at the heart of infrastructure. And so when we look at content choices, we have to think about things like what type of platform is my consumer going to consume it on? And if we look at the media industry, how it's evolved, probably like if you take 7 years where we went from standard definition television to next year, we'll have 4K televisions coming out for the consumer. So we go from SD to HD to VOD, through satellite, through broadcast, through mobile, to 3D, to 1080p, and then we get to 4K. And so 4K presents massive challenges. Every 4K frame is around 12 megabytes in size. You're shooting at 60 frames per second. Just the content itself and the need to manage this becomes incredibly complicated. And so choosing storage and your storage strategy for managing this content as it comes to market through that entire production workflow, even prior to delivery, becomes a very strategic thing, or a very strategic piece of the business analysis as you look forward. The ability to then consume devices becomes equally challenging, right? So consumption of media requires you to have content prepared for delivery on the platforms that we spoke about. But the core piece of this is all about processing. So processing of media, so that's transcoding, it could be rendering, it could be finishing content, it could be adding special effects and pieces to your content, audio transcode, audio encoding and things like that. So actually preparing the content for mass delivery across all of these different input formats to output formats is equally challenging. And so consumption of media is great, but preparation and the processing and the infrastructure required to get your content there becomes an important gating factor in efficiency in that workflow. And so the new ways to get content to devices, so this all then comes into play in terms of the delivery of content. So the CDN that you choose and how you manage your origin source and where you wish to deliver from and how you manage those relationships. So we've got, if we look through this very simple workflow, we've got the ingest and preparing of content, there's all the transcoding, then there's all the delivery. And this is, then you get into complexities of variable bitrate delivery. So as we go online, it poses interesting challenges and opportunities. One is it lowers the cost of delivery of your content. So the internet becomes a level playing field. Your distribution costs can be collapsed dramatically. But you have to prepare your content for that type of distribution. So while you don't have the physical costs of potentially delivering your content, you still have all the complexity about getting content to that, that internet store or that VOD place or that mobile landing point or your CDN. And so this, while the internet offers us lots of opportunities, getting to that IP-enabled device is equally complex. And so CDN choices, again, back to storage, back to processing, these all become key factors. And where we see cloud infrastructure becoming very valuable to that business workflow, because you need the scale, you need the flexibility, you need the cost of economics. And then these new experiences. So if you think about second screen, a lot of that is about enabling a mobile device with pretty much a client-server application. It's a lot of APIs, it's a lot of synchronization, it's a lot of database services, it's a lot of security if you're actually selling products. But all of this is about infrastructure at the end of the day. Each piece of this needs to be enabled through infrastructure. And one doesn't know when something's going to become a phenomenal hit or not. So do you prepare and do you spend all of this money in CapEx building out what you believe to be the next generation service? Or can you just concentrate on the service and the delivery and the value add and have the infrastructure scale up and scale down to meet your needs? So where do we see things headed? So in terms of trends, we're seeing from our customers on a daily basis that the management of content in all aspects of this workflow is becoming a very big challenge. And especially, as I said, with this, with 2K and 4K coming down in terms of media-grade content, managing this and dealing with it in the workflow is very challenging. So with a storage strategy comes an economic valuation that that companies have to go through is, do I want to spend money in CapEx or can I shift it to OpEx? And if I shift it to OpEx, I get money to use in other resources to actually build the content and build the service on top. Trend two is in terms of processing. So we're seeing also a shift in terms of, if I land my content in frame formats before I even create final content in storage, if I can then surround that storage with processing, I can actually accelerate the way that workflow is moving. I can eliminate the necessity to move data constantly between processes and applications. And so using processing that scales in all parts, right? So I mentioned visual effects requires rendering, which is compute-based. Transcoding requires CPUs and GPUs. If you have catalogs to transform for the next generation console, that's a lot of infrastructure that you need, potentially for a very short period of time. And so what we're seeing in terms of our customer base is that while cloud used to be a very interesting competitive advantage in terms of getting to market, we're now seeing that it really becomes a core competency. You need to know when to use it, how to use it, and how to integrate it into a workflow so that you can take the best of both worlds, what you've invested in on-prem and how you can leverage the cloud to really accelerate your time to market. And then in terms of moving content, so ingest in the media workflow is a big problem. And it's so we see in terms of people saying, well, we can't use cloud computing for media, they cite security, which I'd have addressed, and then they cite ingest. But there are many tools, both in terms of networking services that we provide and third-party tools like Aspera that actually help move the content in. What we see, though, is that if you don't have to continually move that content in the workflow, again, move it once, do the heavy lifting once. If you can do your processing, you can implement your storage strategy, you can bring your partner solutions to that content, and you can bring your partners to that content, everyone can leverage the economics of really not having to continually move content. Now, I'm not saying this happens easily, and it's happening every day, but these are the trends that we're beginning to see emerge as we look out. So what's next? So if we look at a typical workflow, I mean, in simple terms, it's ingest, it's storage, it's processing, it's preparation for delivery, and then it's delivery. That's pretty much the file-based workflow. So there's a lot of stuff. You have to manage your ingest, you have to index your files, you have to know how long you're going to keep them in different storage platforms or what you're going to do with them. You have to understand how you wish to transcode them, what type of transcoder, what type of processor, how you're going to play it out, what DRM you're going to do. None of it's easy, but all of it is available at the software level now. And really what you're aiming at, though, is on the right-hand side from the consumer perspective. So, you know, Android, Apple, HTML5 for web delivery. We've got two new gaming consoles on the horizon, Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. This year, we had closed captioning and Calm, which is an audio requirement from the FCC. So that's forced everyone that was delivering OTT to now put in closed captions into their content. So that's a big job. It's complex, and it's required by law. So it poses interesting challenges in catalog transformation. And this is just in the United States. In the 190-plus countries around the world, everyone's got some different requirement or some different decency standard or sensitivity to language or images. And this requires you to have the ability to rapidly change and prep your content for that type of monetization. So where we've seen shifts. So this is a visual representation of that similar workflow from capture through to delivery on the capture on the left-hand side, delivery on the right-hand side. We've traditionally seen cloud being used for delivery. Like it's a very common piece of the workflow. You need a CDN, you need to have an origin source, you need to prepare the content. What we're seeing though is a trend to now expand that into the production workflow. So into the broadcast and production delivery. So any broadcast, if you're a broadcaster, OTT becomes an interesting way of you leveraging your content creation and expanding your revenue through advertising. If you're creating long form content or even television shows, the ability to, as you capture that content, the ability to move it into a workflow is what happens today. But if that workflow can extend into the cloud, you get these this adaption and this scale that you couldn't before. And so we're beginning to see this. But it requires different ways of doing things. So number one, if we move into the broadcast world, it requires us to now bridge analog or baseband video signal over IP to a cloud-based, file-based workflow. And so that means that we need SDI converters, we need to understand how to integrate with a local SAN and a local Avid edit bay. We need to know what hardware transcoders might need to be on-premise and might need to be in the cloud and how you interface the two, how you transition and integrate a physical tape library with a file-based workflow that works in the cloud. And we see interesting things also with people looking to connect production. So if you're in the production workflow, you generally shoot on location. You have to take, every day you're going to generate a number of terabytes of content from different cameras that shoot. You have to get that content into a workflow as soon as you can so that you can do your dailies, you can do your review and approval, and you can move it into that digital workflow. So these, I've called them production pops, but there's always points of presence where people do tape ingest, they do this data wrangling in terms of getting it into that workflow. And then for very large corporations, pretty much broadcasters, studios of all sizes have their own networks. They have their own MPLS or VPLS networks where they have people in their own organizations doing a lot of this work, but integrating and interfacing with the cloud becomes a key piece. So this bridge we see happening. So we've added services, layer two services that let you directly connect into the workflow. And so through direct network connections, so we go back to basics here. We take a physical point-to-point, 1 gig or 10 gig, and you directly connect that into the cloud, and you can begin to integrate these workflows. And at the same time, we're seeing the broadcast technologies also shift to IP. I was at SMPTE last week, and there's a lot of conversation there, one, about 4K and how difficult that's going to be, but secondly, about the need to move to an IP-based workflow. Which meaning digital, right? So you have to go from analog, but you still have to transfer it and translate it, and that's what we're beginning to see. So we also see a trend to move up the workflow. So putting post-production tools in the cloud, most post-production tools, one, they're very graphic intensive, low latency applications, but on the back end, when the creative has done what they need to do, they need to compute it out. Needs to create a new frame file if they're doing VFX. If they're doing editing, you need to combine all of those edits, all of that audio to create your finished content. But we're beginning to see these type of applications move up to the cloud. So specifically on the visual effects end, while people aren't using Maya and 3ds Max in the cloud yet, the rendering is being done in the cloud. So we have a partner company called Zinc Render, for example. They've built a rendering platform in the cloud that lets you actually send your VFX files up, they'll render it, and you can bring it back down into your workflow. And that actually has been used in movies like Flight and Star Trek. So this is proper theatrical release productions with visual effects done in the cloud as part of this workflow. Content finishing, we have one of our customers has developed a content finishing tool, Media Services, that allows people to do rough cut editing, audio analysis. It's all frame level accurate, but it's all done in the cloud. Delivery of dailies, review and approval, and then this full end-to-end workflow. In addition to customers moving these applications up, we also have there's a necessity to have partner solutions that really drive the industry. People have decided from a third-party perspective what partner solutions they're going to use to integrate into their workflow. And so what we have also been doing is working with partners to get their solutions onto the platform. So from ingest, there's multiple opportunities to ingest content from very large brand names in the media space like Aspera, Signian, down to the enterprise where you have Riverbed and Silver Peak, all moving different parts of that workflow. If we move into storage, we have multiple storage applications that help you manage storage. Manage your object store, manage storage on-premise and in the cloud, do cloud-based NAS filers and give you a single pane of view for the type of data you have. In the processing, there's again a massive array of different partner technologies that you can choose from. Elemental, Harmonic, Telestream, they're all big incumbents in the transcoding space. We have SaaS companies like Encoding.com and Zencoder, and Beamer that does video compression. Zinc Render, we have Dolby for audio, there's Tektronix and Intero that are going to do video QC. These are all pieces of and requirements in a production workflow. From the asset management perspective through to the creative perspective, now admittedly this is areas that we're expanding on, right? The ability to manage content in the media layer, the ability to have those creative applications appear in the cloud. These are all beginning, hence the trend that I was pointing to. When it comes to delivery, again, you can see the maturity by the mix. And these are just examples. From the delivery perspective, we recently partnered with AEG Digital Media, again, bridging analog to cloud. So AEG has the satellite reception points to transform the live linear feed into an IP-based stream. Uyala for delivery, Uplink for mobile delivery. Then we have the streaming servers, Wowzer, Microsoft, Adobe Media Server, all of those options for delivery. The ability to secure it, the ability to monetize your content, ad insertion, pre-roll ad delivery, depending on how you wish to monetize your content, and then the ability to have big and small systems integrators really help you more strategically in fitting that all together. But I show you this just to show you that, you know, I've talked a lot about what could be, what's happening. I think this is also a very good indication of just the maturity of the platform and of the of cloud, actually, and how we're able to really integrate into different parts of the workflow. So in summary, use of cloud for media workflows is real and continues to grow. Cloud storage decisions become a very interesting challenge. Nearline, archive, what you're actually going to do in terms of the economics of storage. And as we know, it's growing in all ends of the workflow. Processing, we believe the need to, if you using storage as an anchor to have applications and processing to eliminate the unnecessary movement of data becomes very compelling. Use of cloud, I think it will become a core competency in businesses. And then the summary of this is that if you're in the content creation space, if your business is to derive revenue or money through content, then that's your focus, right? So really, should one focus on IT and building IT services, or should one spend more time creating better content? So we believe that for those that create content, better to spend time on creating the content and let companies like Amazon and cloud-based services in general, that IT and abstraction layer really help drive down the cost of the hardware underneath. And with that, I'll finish. Thank you for your time. I'll hand back to you, Marty. Thank you.